Parshas Bamidbar deals with the counting of Klal Yisrael. The Chumash tells us in Pasuk Mem Zayin that the Levites, according to their father's tribe, were not counted among them. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, "But you shall not count the tribe of Levi, and you shall not take a census among the children of Israel. You shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, over all its utensils, everything that belongs to it. They shall carry the tabernacle and all its utensils," etc. So we find that when we have Klal Yisrael being counted from 20 to 60, every Shevet was counted except for the tribe of Levi. And the obvious question is, well, why aren't they being counted? And indeed, at the end of the parasha, we find that they are counted separate, 22,000, and they're not counted from 20 to 60, they're counted from 30 days old. And we've spoken about this in the past. The art school brings down source number 2. They were counted separately in deference to their higher status. Alternatively, God knew that all those included in the general census would die in the wilderness, and he wanted to exclude the Levites from the faith because of the loyalty and courage during the incident of the golden calf, and that's Rashi based on Chazal. I'd like to try to understand today is what is this specialness of Shevet Levi? They are called Legiono Shel Melech. They are called like the army of Hashem. Why is it that Shevet Levi is different than everyone else? What is the source of this difference? How do we understand their being separate? And I'd like to take a look at it really on two levels. One is being chosen and the focusing in on from above. And the second is that would be Nisusa de la Eila, an awakening from above. And the other is Nisusa de la Tata, an awakening from below, where they were chosen because of something that they did, something specific to them. And obviously it's a combination of both, but by focusing on each individually, we can glean lessons for our lives. The secondary issue that we need to deal with is clearly that we're now a week away from Amid Har Sinai, from our own acceptance of the Torah. We have to understand how Parshas Bamidbar gets us ready for the receiving of the Torah. In particular, we know that right before we came to Har Sinai, we had the War of Amalek. So now, as we are preparing to reach Har Sinai for Rosh Chodesh Sivan, we have to get ourselves ready also to fight that battle of Amalek, which is a perpetual battle at this time every year as well. We have to understand what it means to fight that battle. The focus that we're going to use today is looking at Levi for the first time they appear. And we know Reb Tzadok HaKohen teaches us that the first time any concept or word appears, that's the source of that matter. So when we take a look at when Levi is born, so Levi is the third child of Leah Imenu, the first is Reuven, the second is Shimon, the fourth is Yehuda, the third, again she conceived and bore a son and declared, "This time my husband will become attached to me, Hapam Yilaveh Laishi, for I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore he called his name Levi." Now what's very fascinating is, if you take a look, for example, at the next pasuk, "Therefore she called his name Yehuda, by all the Shvatim," again with the exception of Binyamin, even though she called the son Ben-Oni, the women are the ones who call all the names of the Shvatim. The only exception, again Binyamin being the other one, the only exception is Levi, where the pasuk says, "Al-Kain Kara Shmo Levi," not Kara with a hey, but Kara. You see, the Rabbi Art Scroll translates it according to the Medrash, which we'll see in a second, that it's a capital He, that the He refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that will be our first approach. Peirush Rashi, Vizel Lashono, Source 4, B'kulam Kti Vatikra Vizek Katavo Kara, V'ish Bo Midrash Agada, Sheshalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gavriyo V'Vio Lufanav, V'kara Lo Shem Zev Natan Lo Kavdal Matno Kahuna V'al Shem Shelivo V'matano Karo Levi. Hashem Kivyachol sent Gavriel down to bring this child up, and to Hashem Kivyachol himself called him Levi, and he gave him 24 gifts of Kahuna to accompany him, and therefore, because of these gifts that accompany him, he's given the name Levi. Indeed, Rav Volbo points out in Shirei Chumash that the child Levi, as Leah herself said, she gives the reasoning, "Now my husband will come be attached to me." This child becomes the hope of the parents for connection. And therefore, this child becomes the hope of connection between, in the macro-micro sense, of the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like this child became the vehicle of connection between, the attachment between Lehi Imenu and Yaakov Avinu, so too the role of this child from moment birth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose this child to be the one to attach Knesset Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'ayidei HaVodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melaveh et Klal Yisrael. The Levium were given the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, the service, as we saw in our Pesukim. They carried their utensils, they established, they erected the Mishkan, and therefore they had the Zchus to be the ones to attach themselves through their Avodah, to attach Klal Yisrael to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Rav Uba goes on here, and he says the following. He says, Klal Yisrael lo rotzim lalecha levat, rak b'livui. This is an axiom. A Jew never walks alone. By Bilam we have that he walked alone, Vayelech Shefi. That's not the derech of the Torah. And that's why the pasuk we saw last week, Ki liv yaschein heim l'roshecha. The mitzvot are an accompaniment. Wherever we go, we have something accompanying us. And hence, Chazal make a big deal about the mitzvot, about accompanying. When you have a guest, you walk them out the door. The mitzvot levayas hamei. You accompany, you walk behind the aron a while. All of these aspects are to remind you that in life, it's not about being alone. At any point in time, you always need to have some level of accompaniment, and that's just a mashal, that just like you shouldn't walk in this world by yourself, halicha shel klal Yisrael yad biyad in kodesh b'richu, that we always have to be connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that bolt, so to speak, that connector piece that reminds klal Yisrael being connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Shevet Levi. Just to pause for one moment and take this idea a little bit deeper, it's an idea we've seen many times. It's perhaps one of the most profound, I believe, in Rav Uba. And in fact, he says, the titame ke tev lavini nyamza boryav ki amoku. Rav Uba himself says, and I'm not sure that this is a very deep idea. He says, you find in source 6 that Noach et Elokim italech Noach, Vayav Ravinu italech lefanai veyet tamid, Klal Yisrael, Charei Hashem Elokechem teilechu. We always have to walk in front of Hashem, to walk after Hashem, but never to walk by ourselves. And Rav Uba continues by saying that the whole idea of walking with Hashem means that you have God consciousness at all times, which leads you to a deepening part of the relationship. And he notes that a person can be involved in Torah mitzvot, and in fact be involved in the deepest intellectual aspects of thinking about Hashem. However, it's not bringing a person to feel this accompaniment, this emotional aspect of connection to Hashem. It doesn't lead a person to feel that their avodas Hashem should be deeper and broader than this person really, albeit is involved in Torah, is really walking alone. There's a certain amount of krirus, a certain amount of coldness. And hence, when Klal Yisrael say, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin, is Hashem with us or not? Which Rav Uba knows was an intellectual discussion. Is Hashem dealing with us on a level of yesh or ayin? Can we apprehend Hashem or can we not? However, it was not in order to have this levaya, this accompaniment, this ability to feel closer to Hashem. It was as if that discussion was walking alone. And hence the next pasuk is Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachim Yisrael Berufidim. Amalek comes and fights with Klal Yisrael Berufidim. Shirafu Yudei Minatara. Their hands became weakened. They lost something of this power because it wasn't about connection to Hashem. And the outer enemy is just symptomatic of what's going on inside of ourselves. Amalek Asher Korcha Baderech is described as having chanced upon us on the way from krirus, from coldness. Amalek represents what was going on inside of us. On some subliminal level, we felt this coldness. We felt this disattachment from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why, in order to be able to come to Mamad Har Sinai, the Limud Zev and Tshuva Zu, Hiach Rechim Lekabla Satorah, Klal Yisrael had to do Tshuva, Vayasumim, Fidim, Vayvo, Midbar Sinai. Why does it mention Mirafidim? That they left in a state of Tshuva. Kisod HaTorah Hish, Hu Shehi, Liv Yaschein. Vyesh Ladam HaTorah, Lelachin Ito Yisbarach, Lefanav, Olechad Acharav, levad b'derech chayav, ach lo lelech levad b'derech chayav, even b'machshava, the machshava, even the thought, has to be a connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what Levi represents, and that's Levi's name, Levi is about the connector piece. Levi, the Legion of Shamelech, the army of Hashem, reminds us, Shevet Levi, their name is their essence, reminds us of how we always need to connect ourselves to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Mizrachi in Birkas Mordechai in Source 7 develops this idea of Legion El Shamelech. And he says, Dover Atzubu, it's an amazing thing. Legion El Shamelech heim heim eila asher kol pina shebahem v'chorega shel kiyumam miyatzeku be'etzem yuto et ha-melech v'kvada shel malchus. What's so powerful about the Legion El Shamelech, this army, is they represent 24/7 the stamp of Hashem, the closeness to Hashem, the modeling of what it means to be in the army of Hashem. Hey Mela Sheri Skilu Lavilatzma. They are separate from everyone else. Their mindset is separate. Their actions are separate. And you're right, Nachon Ki Kol Klal Yisrael, each and every one works on to be Oser Ritzono Yisparach, to try to do the will of Hashem at every moment. However, having said that, Shevet Levi is unique in being able to live up to this calling. The Mashal the Chavetz Chaim gives in a different context, but this idea of Legion El Shamelech says, imagine that there is a tax to transport items from one, you know, country to another. So anytime the train goes through, they have to stop at the border. They look inside, they look at the merchandise, and they tax it accordingly, and they let it through, they don't let it through, you have to pay the taxes, etc. Imagine if on a train it would say, you know, sent from the king, ambassadors of the king. They don't stop them. They allow them to go straight through, because, after all, this is, you know, material for the king. The Legion El Shamelech has that special status. That's what Shevet Levi is. They're not under the same aspect as the rest of Klal Yisrael. They are a separate status. Hence, the Kohen and Levi gets the first two aliyos. You're not allowed to ask Kohanim to do things for you, because they are the representatives of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what makes them special and unique. The Shari Chaim, Rav Goldstein, takes this even further. And he says, why wasn't it enough for Moshe Rabbeinu to figure out, hey, there's no Nasi from Shevet Levi, so obviously they're not counted with everyone else. Why does it say specifically that there's a tzivui not to count them together, but to rather count them separate? And he explains further, why is it that Shevet Levi is counted from a month old? They can't do service at a month old. So he answers, he says, and he says the reason for this is Kishne Madrigon in source number 11, Yeshla Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi really has two levels that make them unique and special. Hachad, one, Shem Shomrim Mishmeren HaMishkan Bavarotam Ba'ol Moed Lufi Asarech. They're the ones who are guarding and involved in the service of the Mishkan. Vasheni, listen closely in the bracket, double underlined in 7. She'etzem chayehem mukdashim l'shem Hashem. Their lives intrinsically are dedicated to Hashem. And now we understand, v'alpizeh yishel farei shemashen amar tzivui miyuchad, shelo livkor et Shevet Levi m'klaiso kedei lahadgish et yuchudo shel Shevet Levi. Why aren't they just, you know, by a mission, you understand, they weren't supposed to be counted? No. There's a special sivui, a special command. Why? Because she'ein hu nimdad al pi ha'pulot shu'oseh el she'etzem chayav em kvod Hashem Yitzbarach. There's a whole different barometer by Shevet Levi. It's a whole different count. Shevet Levi intrinsically is dedicated to Hashem. And therefore we have a new understanding of Shevet Levi. She'etzem ha'chaim shalem ikidush Hashem. Their lives themselves are kiddush Hashem. V'kiddush Hashem zeh ha'chaim shalem. V'kach tzarich liyot tzurat chayei ben Torah nimshal l'Shevet Levi. This, my friends, is the special aspect of what Shevet Levi is about. So what we've seen, my friends, is that when Shevet Levi was born, From that moment that Shevet Levi was born, the child who connects mother and father, Hashem has chosen this child from moment of birth to connect Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is to remind Klal Yisrael you can never be alone. You always have to have a mindset of Shevet Levi with you. And know that Shevet Levi are the model of what it means to walk with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shevet Levi, the Legion El Shomelech, they have a special stamp on their train. That their actions, their mindset, everything they do is holy. And therefore they're counted from a month old. Because it's not just about the fact that they can serve or not. Their Etzem HaChaim, just being alive, even a month old baby, a year old baby, is enough to create Kedusha in this world and Kedusha within themselves. And therefore, we have to look at Shevet Levi as being our model of what it means to be somebody dedicated completely to Avodas Hashem. The truth be told is, my friends, that Shevet Levi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen them, He therefore orchestrated their lives. You know, it's obviously a nature versus nurture aspect, but He orchestrated their lives that they should be unique among all the other Shvatim. And this is based on an essay of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in the Sefer Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. And he notes that when Adam HaRishon was created, Kadosh Baruch Hu blesses him, and he says, "You should go and be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it." Source 12, Vikiv Shuha. In this blessing is contained the gift and mandate of grasping, of kifush, of conquering the earth and all its possessions. Without this gift, there can be no progress. Obviously, Hashem, the Creator, blessed Adam, humankind, only with the gift of justifiable conquest, of might backed by right. Obviously, it's not just, you know, do whatever you feel like. However, the Ribbono Shel Olam granted another gift to Adam in the aspect, and that is the capacity to reach into things and people through cultivation, work, dedication, and perseverance. This blessing was bestowed upon Adam after the Creator had planted him in Gan Eden. He's told, Le'ovda u'lishamra, to guard the garden. And this is the idea which we call chazaka, cultivation, work, dedication, which are to supplement the gift of grasping. Humankind is capable of attaining great heights of progress through the gift of kibush, of grasping, but it cannot succeed in establishing a paradise unless it's coupled with chazaka. These two blessings represent two different gifts or approaches, two distinct endowments. It's for this reason that in the wilderness, Hashem required Bnei Israel to realize two countings or censuses. One count related to all the members of the various tribes between the ages of 20 and 60, while the other count related to all the members of the tribe of Levi from 1 month old and over. The tribe of Levi could not be included in the one count with the other tribes. The endeavors and strivings of the Jewish tribes were inspired primarily by the gift of kibush. Only those members of the tribe who were 20 years old were able to fit into the service, and that's why they're counted. However, the endeavors and aspirations of the tribe of Levi in 13 were founded primarily upon the gift of chazakah. Reaching, watching, cultivating, the members of Levi were to be counted separately because their endeavors and their methods were unique. The training required for achievement in the realm of chazakah, of reaching into things, has to begin already at birth. This is something, again, the nature versus nurture at a young age. And this is why they don't have a nachla. They don't have a portion in the land. They're surrounded by Limud Torah. They were the teachers. They were the scholars. Because the job of Levi is a job about being able to transmit, being able to create in this world through a peaceful means, through a teaching means. The kibush, the conquering, goes to Yehuda. It goes to the other tribes. But the ability to sit and teach and change and a metamorphosis that's happened in this type of loving type of way, chazakah building, is unique for the tribe of Levi. I'll just make mention here, at the end of 13 and 14, Rav Aaron points out that aside from Shevet Levi, the women were granted this aspect of chazakah. Men are given, V'kiv Shua was assigned to men, that command, not to women. Men are told to conquest, women are told to be able, and that's how women are wired, through chazakah. And you see this dynamic between a mother and a father. If they want the child to do something, the father will say, just do it already, come on, move. And the mother will cajole and say, I know you really want to do this. I know it's so difficult for you, but we know you're able to do this. It's two different ways. Kibush, bumping him over the head, and chazaka, speaking softly, nicely. And those are the two differences. That's the difference between Levi and the rest of Klal Yisrael. And he notes in 14, when women say the bracha of Shasani Kirtzano every morning, what they are reflecting is that the ultimate ratzon, the ultimate will of Hashem, which will be in the times of Mashiach, will be a world of chazaka. It will be a world of peaceful acquisition. It will be a world that will be living like a Levi type of existence, of that closeness to Hashem. And that is Shasani Kirtzano. We were created, women were created in the ultimate vision of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen Shevet Levi, really from birth, and has molded them into this role, and we know Shevet Levi never worked in Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure of that, because again, the hard work is the kivshuha, it's the conquest. Levi sat and learned Torah. That's the role of Levi, from moment go. We can understand then, in the Be'er Moshe, the Azarava Rebbe, that Psalm points out in 15, Ki machar sheleviim hayu sharasham shal Yisrael. Levim are the sharash, they're the root of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, they're not counted among them. And therefore, we understand why there were exactly 22,000. The 22,000 Levim parallel the 22 letters in the Sefer Torah. We know that really every person has a letter in the Sefer Torah, but the 22 are the letters of the alphabet. The letters of the alphabet make up the letters of the Sefer Torah. They're the shoresh, they're the root. Shevet Levi is the root, it's the source, it's a linchpin of what Klal Yisrael is about. And hence we have the Medrash that speaks about that by Mamad Har Sinai, angels came down and gave each one of the Levim a special crown, because they recognize that Shevet Levi are Tumecha Vorecha Lish Chasidecha, they're the ones who are the most loyal to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we understand this distinction, that Shevet Levi has been chosen to be the chazaka, to be the peaceful acquisition, and the rest of Klal Yisrael is the kibush, and that Shevet Levi are the 22 letters, that's the shoresh of the alphabet, they are the shoresh of the Torah, they are the root, they are the ones that remind us of what it means to connect to Hashem, we can appreciate a distinction in really in one word that if you don't pay close attention, you're not even going to catch it. Between our parasha and parasha Nusso, this is in Nesiva Shalom, the next week's parasha. When it talks about the count from 20 to 60, it says in our parasha, Miben Asim Shanas, or 16 Vamala, Kol Yotzei Tzava Bisrael. All those who are Yotzei Tzava, who go out to the army. In next week's parasha, when it talks about the Levim, who work from age 30 days till 50, it says, Tifkod Otam, you should count them, Kol Haba Litzvot Tzava La'avod Avodah Ba'omoed. Anyone who goes to the army of serving Hashem. But here it doesn't say Yotzei Tzava, to go out into the army, it says Haba Litzvot Tzava, who goes into, who enters into the army. And here, the Nesiva Shalom notes that this is really the essential difference that we have between Shevet Levi and Klal Yisrael. Shevet Levi is kibush. Shevet Levi is sur meirah. They have to go out to war. And what war are they fighting? This is the fighting of the Yitzharit. They're fighting the Yitzhahara. They're fighting their taivas, their desires. They are Yotzei. They go out and they're the ones involved actively, kibush, fighting that Yitzhahara and overcoming it. On the other hand, Sur 17, Achavodat Elevim, Yavodat Hashem, Madrigat Vohaba, Saitov, Echliot Vukim Hashem Yitbarach. The Levim are about chazaka, about peaceful acquisition, coming closer to Hashem. They are on a different level, and therefore, when we talk about the Levim, we talk about they are on the arrow. Haba litvo avoda lavoda avodas avoda avodat masabo moed. Their job is to end. enter in, haba, to enter into the Ohel Moed. Lavo penima, lavorat Hashem apnimi. While the other tribes are about fighting and being able to ward off, that's the kibush. The Yotzei Tzava, to go out and conquer. Levi is about entering into, about having this close relationship, Levi, Dveikus, about entering into Asei Tov, the positive, in terms of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, my friends, we have to understand that really Levi has been chosen from moment go. Levi's job is a very clear job, to be the model for Klal Yisrael, and they are the ones who are dedicating themselves completely to this world of Chazakah, to build peacefully a world based on Torah. And hence we know in Source 18 that the Rambam writes, it's not just Shevet Levi alone, but anyone who decides to be able to dedicate themselves to Avodas Hashem, Uparak Maltzavaro Ola Cheshbonos HaRabi Mashir B'Kshu B'nei Adam. These are people who take off themselves the yoke of going out to work, of all of those financial struggles, the kibush aspect, to be able to dedicate themselves to the Chazakah aspect, and people can be a card-carrying member of Shevet Levi, even if they weren't born a Shevet Levi. That, my friends, is one aspect of what Shevet Levi is about. Silver Spoon, chosen from birth, Levi, they are the ones who are completely dedicated to Hashem. And hence, just to end this first level, 19 and 20, at the time of the Chet HaEgel, when all of Klal Yisrael was put into this very difficult position of having a suffolk and amunah, will Moshe Rabbeinu come back or not? So albeit very few people actually worshipped the Egel HaZahav, and the rest of them stopped them, it was only Shevet Levi who was able to hold strong. They passed the Simuna test. Shevet Levi has the metal that it takes to remain strong in their amunah no matter what happens. This is the nature of Shevet Levi. Now let's look at it from the other side. The Shevet Levi on the first side, Al Kain Kara, who called him Shevet Levi? Kadosh Baruch Hu, chosen from birth. On the second level, Shevet Levi was called by Yaakov Avinu. Emes LeYaakov, the Rashbam brings that down, Beferish. Emes LeYaakov developing this, trying to see how it fits into the Pshutel Shemikra. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is on Psalm 21. He says, "V'nira li liyashev l'tiv shutel shemikra, duvda hachi hava." This is what happened. When Yaakov saw Levi being born, for whatever cheshbon, for whatever calculation he had, he understood that this child was going to be the Kedushas Meister. He is going to be his one-tenth dedicated to Hashem. And therefore he called the child Levi. He called the child Levi based on the idea of V'yelvu alecha v'yishartucha. They will accompany you and they will serve you. So Al Kain Kara, who called? Yaakov Avinu called Levi. And indeed, the Emes LeYaakov points out in 22 and in 23 that generally you see in many different places in Tanakh that the father calls the oldest boy. You see this by Yehuda, right? An heir. He calls the oldest boy. Why does the father call the oldest boy, oldest child? Right? And again, there are different minhagim. The woman calls the first, the father calls the first, different minhag Yisrael. In Tanakh, we generally see the man calling the first child. Why? Because they say that the child is the one who's going to take over for the father, and therefore he wants to almost put a stamp on this child. Right? The name is the essence of the child. However, Yaakov Avinu understands that who is going to be the one following after him? Who is the one that he mandated that they should be sitting and learning, they should be never leaving the Kotlei Beis Medrash? Was Shevet Levi. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu insisted that this tribe be, he should name this tribe, and again he's naming it, that they will always be escorting Kodesh Baruch Hu, they will always be serving Hashem, and therefore he named it Levi. However, when Leah Imenu hears, Mazel Tov, the boy's name is Vayikra Shmo B'Yisrael, Levi, right, Levi ben Yaakov. So what does Leah Imenu say? Ah! He's calling the name Leah, B'Shamasha Yaakov Karashmo Leah, Amra, in 21, Hapam Yilave Ishi Elai, Sharei Al-Kain Kara Ishi Yitzmo Levi, it must be that my husband believes now that he will come closer to me. So albeit that Yaakov Avinu's reasoning is that he will accompany Klal Yisrael and serve Hashem, nevertheless, when Leah Imenu hears this, she says, good news! What is on my husband's mind? Connection and closeness. And therefore, in Leah's mind, the reason for this child, the reason that Yaakov Avinu named this child, is that this child is going to be, on some level, bringing closeness between them. Not coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu naming, but from Yaakov Avinu himself. It was as if this was an answer to Leah Imenu's prayer, that now she feels that on some level, whether it's subliminal or not, that the name Levi is going to impact the relationship. And hence, the Sichos Musar in Source 24 points out, even though the Kedush of Shevet Levi really comes that they didn't sin in Chet Egel, truth be told is, in Egypt they weren't enslaved. From moment go, they were the exalted part. We could argue, perhaps we can say, that where does the greatness of Levi come from? It comes from Yom Hivasto Shel Shevet, the moment he was born. Nigram Kiruv Halavavot Sheben Yaakov Avinu V'Leah. This caused closeness between Yaakov Avinu and Leah. When Leah Imenu hears Yaakov Avinu calling this name, she feels that he wants to get closer to her, and therefore she gets closer to him. And therefore, the Shevet, which created a closeness, was Nitkadesh La'ad Ol Netzach Nitzachim Hagorim L'Kiru L'Vavot Mitkadesh La'ad. Therefore, their job forever is to bring about this level of closeness. So according to this, my friends, will be very similar to the first level. It's a little bit different. That the name itself has within it a certain sensitivity of closeness, a certain understanding of the human dynamics, and this is embedded in Levi's name. Now, why is this significant? So let's look at it now, not from the fact that they were chosen from above, but understanding the individuals involved in Levi who set up the Shevet and the dynamics and the emotional aspects within their naming their children and things that they did that warranted that Shevet Levi should be special. I'd like to learn together a very beautiful piece from Rav Pinchas Friedman in Bamidbar 5774, Shvili Pinchas, where he begins the 25 asking why was it that Shevet Kahat of all the three tribes were the ones who carried the Aron. And in order to understand this, he says, you really have to understand what Shevet Levi is about. And let's begin in 26. We could begin with an incredible insight mentioned by the Chasam Sofer, but attributed originally to the Gra. For every positive force in the world, there's its counter. The national enemy of Jewish people already at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was the nation of Amalek. Amalek is considered a supreme power among the nations of the world, as it says, Reshit Goyim Amalek. Shortly after Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they fought Yisrael and Rafidim. And Chazal tells us Rafidim refers to Klal Yisrael, Rafu Yadehem, weakness in Torah study. Clearly then Amalek's power is strong when Klal Yisrael falters in his Torah study, which we know is the Yaakov Esav dynamic. Within the Jewish nation itself, we also have a supreme Shevet, the chosen Shevet of Levi. So we have this idea of Zelu Matzah Salukim, right? Pasuk Kohelet, one counters the other. So we have many nations, and we have many tribes. But we have one nation, which is Reshit Goyim Amalek. They're the prime nation. They're the first nation. And in Klal Yisrael, we have one aspect that's the prime, the more developed, and that's Shevet Levi. Levi, via his specific descendants, Kahat, then Amram, and Moshe Rabbeinu. So you have Levi. Levi's son is Kahat. Kahat's son is Amram. Amram's son is Moshe, Amram Miriam, epitomized greatness in Torah study among the people at that time. Levi, as the Ramban writes, was designated by Yaakov to sit in yeshiva, learn and ensure the continuation of the mitzvot given to Avram Avinu. Kahat and his descendants worthy of carrying the Aron, housing the Torah, suggesting a powerful connection to Torah. Amram was in fact labeled the Gadol Hador, and obviously Moshe Rabbeinu and Amram Miriam were all great Nevi'im. So look at this, my friends. Amalek, Reshit Goyim Amalek, Amalek draws his counterforce from the name Amalek. Each letter, the beginning of the names in the great lineage. Ayin is Amram, Mem is Moshe, Lamed is Levi, Kuf is Kahat. So Amalek draws when Amram, Moshe, Levi, and Kahat are weak in Torah, then Amalek can be able to be supreme. When they are strong in Torah, then Amalek falters. And that's why we understand that if you take a look at the last letters in Amram, ends with a Mem, Moshe, a Hey, Levi, a Yud, and Kahat, a Tav, you mix those letters around, you have Mita, death. Vachrito, the end, right, the end letters, the end of Amalek, a Deoved, will be everlasting destruction. So really hinted at in these four descendants are the fact that they become the counterforce to Amalek, and they have the ability, Vachrito, a Deoved, to destroy them completely. Now, let's take this a little bit further. The Shulchan Aruch Kadosh points out, verse 27b, that although Shevet Levi was not subject to the hard labor of Mitzrayim, Levi felt important to name his three children Gershon, Kahath, and Merari, specifically to empathize with the pain of his fellow Jews in Golos Mitzrayim. And that's why in Perek Vav of Shmot, it talks about these are the heads of the household of Reuven, the sons of Reuven, and the sons of Shimon. And these are the names of the son of Levi. Why only by Levi does it say the names, which we don't find by Reuven or Shimon? Levi was not subject to Golos Mitzrayim, but nonetheless wanted to empathize with the suffering of the Jewish people. What did he do? He called his sons' names that reflected the Jewish suffering. The names, Eilu Shmot, is focusing on their names. Gershon, the Jews were strangers in this land. Kahat, alluding to the breaking and weakening of their teeth. Merari, the bitterness they endured. So, the Torah explicitly says these are the names of the sons of Levi. From here we learn, here goes, to always take part in the suffering of the tzibur, of the community, even when the suffering would not affect you personally. In fact, when Hashem spoke to Moshe, he referred to himself as Ek Asher Ekeh. I will be. I will be with them during this gullus. I'll be them in future gullus. Suggesting that he himself, Hashem, is always enduring suffering with us. And this, my friends, is even more fascinating because we know that when did the shibud, when did the slavery really begin? Upon Levi's death. So Levi wasn't even around when this happened, but he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that Klal Yisrael was going to suffer, and his tribe wasn't going to be there. Nevertheless, he wanted to feel empathy. We call this to be no seba olim chaveiro, to carry the burden, this yoke of pain, and therefore named his children based on the suffering and affliction, so that on some level they could feel the suffering of Klal Yisrael, to be part of where they were at. And indeed, my friends, this trait that he gave over by naming his children, and we know the names are the essence, is really found in Moshe Rabbeinu himself and his behavior. The pasuk tells us, Vayhi bayamim ha'heim, bracket 29, Vayigda Moshe vayitzel lecha vayar betzivotam. The Moshe went out, grew up, and he went out to see his brethren. And the Medrash says, what did Moshe Rabbeinu see? He saw in the hard labor and cried and said, I pity you, can I die for you? For there's no harder work than cement work. And he would place loads on his shoulder to assist others. He would see a heavy load on a small person, a small load on a large person. And he would drop everything and assist them. And therefore, by the snap, by the burning bush, Hashem said, you dropped everything to assist them. I'm going to drop everything to reveal myself to you. And he reveals himself, Dafka specifically, in a thorn bush, Imo Anochi Betzara, to say that this is the quality of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to feel the pain of other people. So to summarize this, to put it all together in 30, Levi's desire to feel and empathize with the suffering of other Jews led him to name his children names that identify with Golos Mitzrayim. For this forethought, he merited in the progenitor Moshe Rabbeinu, who followed his great-grandfather's illustrious example, and also took part in the burden of his brethren. These actions directly led Hashem, who is always a part of the Jewish people, when they are afflicted, to appoint Moshe as its shaliach, represented to redeem the Jewish people from their suffering. And again, just like to add here, before going on to the Shvili Pinchas, this beautiful piece that we could do over and over again from Rav Lev Sefer, 31 and 33, about the pasuk begins, Vayikdal, the Moshe grew up, Vayetze Elachav, and he went out to his brothers. So why the idea of Vayikdal? Obviously, if he's going out, he's grown up. So he brings down here the idea of Vayigdal to teach us that this is the sign of a Gadol. A sign of a Gadol b'Yisrael. Someone great. That katan Gadol yuyeh. That's a bracha we give out of Bris. This young one will become great. A Gadol is somebody who understands the pain of other people. A Gadol is someone who empathizes with other people. And this is what you see over and over again when you hear stories of Gadolim. It's not just in terms of their Gaonus and Torah, and their brilliance in Psak. It's very much about their sensitivity to other people, their ability to understand, to empathize, to really get to the core of what other people are about, and be able to help the person. They tell of, I forgot which Rebbe it was, that after every time he would meet with somebody, he would constantly, or every few times, he would constantly change his clothes. And his Gabbai asked him, like, why are you always changing your clothes? He says, I feel such pain for the stories that I hear that I'm out of sweat. Like, I'm perspiring, just feeling their pain. And I just have to change my clothes because they're sopping wet from really feeling the pain of other people. That's a gadol. And he brings here from the famous Hakdama of the Shari Yosher of Shem Shkav Zatzal, of how do you be able to move beyond yourself. The Shari Yosher speaks about that Kedusha is really being involved in the needs of other people. And he says it's just about being able to expand the eye, to move from the natural concern of oneself, to then include one's families, then neighbors, and the more one perfects himself, all of Klal Yisrael. Right? And he mentions that when a baby enters this world, he enters this world with his fist clenched. And we know the preparation after 120 years is to open a person's hands. And that's a transition. The world is mine, the fist clenched. Right, little kids, mine, mine, shali, shali, don't touch, everything is mine. And they move from the mine, mine, to be able to include others, that ultimately when they die, a person's hand should be wide open, recognizing, obviously many reasons, that I'm ready to encompass the whole world in my hands. This outreach of the self is not mere sympathy in 33, says Rav Lev, but rather a deep empathy and a total identification. Henry require applying one's eyes and heart. It necessitates observing, assessing, and understanding the circumstances and needs of others. But that is not sufficient, for once he has assessed his neighbor's situation with his eyes, he must open his heart to what he sees, to actually experience emotionally the hurt and pain, the fears and apprehension, the joys and satisfactions of one extended self. The story we've mentioned before, and obviously the story dates itself, is the story when Rav Matisyahu Solomon Shlita, Mashgiach of Lakewood, was making a simcha, and their neighbors, who they were very close to, were in Yud Beis Chodesh, were in Avelus, and they weren't able to go to the simcha. Rav Matisyahu had a sign put on their door when they got home, don't make dinner tonight, we're bringing over, the caterer's going to bring over a meal from the wedding, that obviously they couldn't participate, and then had somebody come do in 1 hour developing pictures, you know, the 1 hour Photoshop, and brought over pictures of the chuppah already that night, because he understood that they're sitting there saying, oh, what are they doing now, what are they up to now, right? In today's day and age with Zoom, like, I don't know what the laws of Avelus and Zoom are, but like, you know, I can't tell you how many weddings I've watched this week on Lech Ba'Omer. It's just like, you don't have to leave your house. Not that you get any of the good food either, but okay, it's all relative. This is to be no say but all when you know that somebody is in pain and somebody is feeling, oh my, I wish I was there. So act on it. Do something about it. That's a good though. Give up them the food from the meal. Bring over pictures. Let them feel part of it as much as halachically able. But then he goes even further. He says, so far, back to Shlita Pinchas in 34, we focused on B'nai Kahas and Moshe Rabbeinu. However, the Sfas Emes references a Medrash that gives nearly all of Shevet Levi, and this is the key that I made a squiggly underneath the line, the empathic gene. And I think that's what Levi is about. And once you've developed it, it then comes into your children. This is their quality, empathy. The Medrash brings down, and really begins, that the naming of the sensitivity between Yaakov Avinu and Leah Imenu, that understanding, the empathy of naming Gershom Kahan Merari. Medrash brings down the Pasuk, Motzi Asirim B'Kosharo. Hashem releases prisoner from the bondage. The word Kosharo can be a contraction of two words, Bechot V'Shiro, crying and singing. The Medrash Tov claims that the crying alludes to the crying of Moshe when he was a baby in the basket, and the crying of the Jewish people as they cried to heaven, the singing relates to the Shira of Az Yashir at the sea. Albeit we know that V'hinei Nar Bocheh, some people say it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu crying in the basket, it was his three-year-old brother Aaron who was standing in the reeds crying. Right, you have the sister standing there looking what's going to happen, right? You have Aaron crying. This is the gene of the family, this empathy, this no seba all. And he goes on by saying, the Sosemis explains that the Jewish people merited to be taken out of Golos Mitzrayim due to crying and davening in Golos and the singing that would happen from the Golos. He adds that it's likely that the free from bondage, Levim, took the lead role in crying and davening for the salvation of the entire nation, despite not enduring any suffering themselves. Shevet Levi empathized and did all they could to pray on Klal Yisrael's behalf. For this, as Fasemis suggests, they were chosen to sing Shira in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see here, my friends, that even if a person isn't going through something individually, Baruch Hashem, your family hasn't been affected, let's say, by Corona, but there are families that have been affected. Let's say your family, Baruch Hashem, hasn't been affected financially. But many, many families have been affected financially. So we can't say Shalom Alei Nafshi and just, oh, that's their problem. We have to feel the pain as if it's our pain. We have to figure out ways to be able to rehabilitate our Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael. Give them the emotional support. Give them the financial support. Be able to pull people through what's going to be years of get people getting back on their feet. And with this, we can appreciate why it's Dafka Shevet Levi Kehat that carries the Aron. What does the Torah have to do with this? So we know that in 35 and 36, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told that on this mountain, right, how will I know? Zeh L'cha'ot will be the sign. So that the Sneh, Hashem says, you will worship me on this mountain. And we know that part of Kabbalah Satorah, there are 48 ways of Kinyan Torah, right, the 6th chapter of Pirkei Avos, that one of the 48 ways to acquire Torah is no seba olim chaveiro, to literally carry the burden. Kahas is chosen to carry the aron. The aron represents the Torah. They represent the aspect of what Torah is about. Torah, as the Maharal says at the end of 36, begins with an act of chesed of clothing Adam and Chava and ends with an act of chesed, an act of kindness of bearing Moshe Rabbeinu. The entire Torah is chesed. The entire Torah is about kindness. And the real aspect of kindness is the ability to be able to feel the pain of another person. The sign that will specifically send you and no one else is that you'll bring the Torah on this mountain. You have excelled in Nosei Bolim Chaveiro, the end of 36, the second 36. Hence, you are worthy of acquiring the Torah, and thus you are worthy of redeeming them from Mitzrayim. And then he adds here that the whole idea of Katef, that where do we learn that the idea of singing in the Torah, so the Chazal learn it from the fact that their holy work upon their shoulders they carried. For the fact that it says they shouldered the load, do we not know that it means they carried it? What does the word Yisahu, they carried it, teach us? Rather, it means they sang Shira, as we find in other places the word Yisahu connotes singing. From this Gemara, we can suggest that because the Levim shouldered the burden of their fellow Jews and were no seba olim chaveiro, they merit to sing Yisahu in the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Volbig clearly says in Ali Shur 38, that my lazu, to be no seba olim chaveiro, to feel the pain of another, he has shorish ha'amok l'chol ha'mitzvos ben adam chaveiro. It is the deepest of all the mitzvos ben adam chaveiro. It's the halicha b'drachav. This is the quintessential way of following in Hashem's ways. And indeed, we know that in Perek Kaftalet, when the Kanim went up to Shemayim and they saw, whatever this may mean, the throne of glory, they saw there was Livnat HaSapir, they saw there was a sapphire brick underneath the Kisei HaKavod, that Hashem should remember by this brick the pain kivyachol that Klal Yisrael were in Egypt. This is the idea that Matati Odeya, to really feel the pain of another person. And indeed, the end of 41 in the asterisk, the mitzvah bikur cholim and nichum avelim, visiting the sick, comforting the mourners, is part of nosei ba'ol im chaveiro, to really feel the pain of another person. And that's really what our job is at. As Rabbi Pliskin brings down from a simcha zissel of ziv, in order to experience the suffering of others, you need to make a mental image. When someone experiences suffering and pain, make a picture in your mind. Is that what's happening to you? Whatever you would want other people to do for you in such situations, you should do for others. This is how to internalize the trait of sharing the burden of others. And he knows, Rabbi Pliskin, right now, take a moment, apply this exercise. Think of someone you know who is suffering in some way. Now feel this pain as if it were yours. What would you want others to do for you? Now do this for that person. And again, it could be physical pain, it could be emotional pain, it could be the pain of being in a financial crisis. There's so many aspects of pain. To be nosei ba'olim chaveiro doesn't mean that someone has to be deathly ill, lo aleinu. It could be in any difficulty and challenge that the person is at in life. Person has a child who's lo aleinu off the derech, or not married and is older. There's so many situations to really feel that pain. Oh my gosh, their child is 30 and not yet married. You know what? This is like beyond what I could even imagine. You know what? Let me take a more proactive role, A, in my tefillah, and B, let me think. Let me call shachanim up. Let me do a little bit of legwork too. That's really feeling the pain and acting on it. And that's the challenge that we have. Now, my friends, let's summarize and we'll end with 1.5 ideas. The greatness of Shevet Levi is Hashem chose them. He had Malach Avriel come up, escorted him with 24, you know, the Matno Kehuna, the gifts of the priests. Shevet Levi, from moment go, are people of Chazaka, not of Kibbutz. Shevet Levi are the ones who sit and learn Torah and not involved in Parnassah, in hard work. Shevet Levi were the ones who from 30 days are counted because their existence in the world itself is that of Kedusha. And they are the quintessential model of ones who bring that Livyat Chein Heim L'Roshecha. They remind us of Torah Mitzvos. They connect us to Hashem. They remind us never to walk alone. Shevet Levi continuously walks with Hashem. They're always thinking about connection to Hashem. They have Legion El Shamelech written on their train. They have free passageway through life. And our job is to somehow join their bandwagon and be able to learn from them what it means to connect to Hashem. On the second level, Shevet Levi's name, not from Kadosh Baruch Hu, but from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu names him that he should be escorting Hashem through life. However, when Leah Aminu hears this name, she also hears an echo that Yaakov Avinu wants to get closer to her. And within that name itself is a name of connection. And hence, Levi is chosen, and Levi is imbued with a sense of sensitivity, of awareness, of human dynamics. And therefore, Levi names his children with this awareness that, albeit they won't be suffering, Gershon, Gahan, and Merari, all the names to reflect the exile, all the names to reflect the pain of Klal Yisrael in the Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is a grandson, is a great grandson, is able to embody this by being able to go out to see the needs of his brothers. Aaron HaKohen, who wears the Urim V'Tumim, feels the pain of other people. This is the what do we call it, the genetic trait of empathy, the empathic gene that is embedded in this family. Rabosai, here's the punchline for today. There's a Gemara back to Shvilei Pinchas in Tanis, which discusses the importance of taking part in the suffering of others. The rabbi learned Klal Yisrael's suffering, and one separates from them, two angels come and put their hands on his head and say, this person who separated from Klal Yisrael will not see in the comfort of Klal Yisrael. Another Braisa learns when the Klal Yisrael is suffering, one should not leave and say, I will go home and drink and ignore the plight of others, for if he does so, Hashem will not forgive him. Rather, a person should experience the suffering the Kalal has seen from Moshe Rabbeinu, whom the Torah tells us, and Moshe's hands were very heavy, and they took hard rocks and placed them under him, and he sat on them. This is the war of Amalek, that when his arms became too hard to hold up, that's when Klai Yisrael were winning in the war, so he sat on a stone. And they ask, why did you sit on a stone? Wasn't there a blanket or a pillow to sit on? And the answer is, rather Moshe said, since the Jewish people are suffering, I too will be with them in their suffering. And thus anyone who joins in the suffering of the Klal will merit and experience redemption and comfort. From here we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu 44 used the midah of Nosei Baal Chaveru when he led the fight against Amalek. As we learned before, Amalek attacked because Klal Yisrael had become weak in Torah study. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to strengthen the Jewish people by calling their attention to reacquiring Torah. What better way to reacquire Torah than by honing in on one of the 48 midos, namely, to be Nosei Baal Chaveru. When Klal Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu action and strengthened themselves in the trait of Levi, Gad, Amram, and Moshe, they were able to defeat Amalek. Rabosai, this is where it's at. That Moshe Rabbeinu in fighting Amalek had to take, to bring into this fight, not just the Lima Torah, not just the Torah that they learned, that they were all gedolim, but he had to bring in the quality trait of these, of Shevet Levi. And what was the quality trait of Shevet Levi? To be Nosei Baal Chaveru, to feel the pain, and hence he sat on a rock. Taking this one step further, the Medrash says, he turned, the Medrash says, to the zchuyos, the merits of his forefathers. He took a stone and sat underneath it. He took a stone underneath him. That's Maisa Avot. The stone represents the hardcore forefathers. And he sat on it. That's the way of the foremothers. And the Shem Shmuel points out that these are the two qualities of the father and the mother. The father is the strong rock, and the mother is the gvos, the sitting, the hills, the softer nature. Again, the kibush versus chazakah. But on a deeper level, my friends, we can say that when Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting on this rock, these are the Maisa Avos and Imahos. He's reminding himself not only of the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. He's reminding himself of his own forefathers. He's reminding himself of Amram. He's reminding himself of Kahat. He's reminding himself of Levi, all who embody this aspect of Nosei Baal Chaveru. And when he's sitting on it, representing the Imahos, he's thinking about his mother, Yocheved, who was the daughter of Levi. Yocheved, who felt the pain being one of the midwives of these women, that not only did she keep these children alive, but Rashi tells us that she kept them alive, that she would feed them and nourish them and make sure they were viable children. Only someone who really cares about somebody else is able to step into that role. And hence Miriam is the one who stands in guard, even though she's a little child, to make sure that her brother is safe. And Aaron is crying, also watching over his brother. If you had to pick the family trait of Shevet Levi, it's a family trait. He sits on the rock of his father and mother. He brings the schuyos of his parents, of Levi, Yocheved Bas Levi, and to be able to understand that this is the quality that you need to have. And hence we understand why the Moshe Rabbeinu had to come from, the Levim had to come from Aaron HaKohen, both sides from Levi, because this is the quality that makes them unique and makes them the leadership of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, my friends, we can say that just like as the Rambam says that anyone can become a card-carrying member of Shevet Levi by sitting and learning Torah, we also have to remember we can become the card-carrying member, and we need to become the card-carrying member of Shevet Levi to acquire Erev Shavuos, this midah of Nelsei Ba'olim Chaveiro, this midah of being able to really empathize that we're going through very difficult, challenging times, and we all know people who are suffering on many levels. We need to extend ourselves out to these people. Even if everyone would just find a few people and be able to really hone in on them and helping them, this would be the greatest way that we can come to Mamon Har Sinai, we can come to Shavuos, Vayichad Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, in this unity, when we all feel the pain of others, and that we're acting upon that pain of others, and in that merit, we should be Zocha for the Geulah Shleimah.